Greg Ballard won't seek a third term. Will the Republicans make a serious challenge in next year's race for mayor? A GOP sweep in statewide races, a Democratic sweep in Marion County, and the supermajorities grow. That plus new clout for Dan Coats, winners and losers and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending November 7, 2014.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week there were elections conducted across Indiana, and yet the biggest political story is one that is tied to the 2015 election in Indianapolis. Mayor Greg Ballard, a Republican, will not seek a third term next year. He said the decision is based on a gut feeling.
As a Marine and as a mayor, I have committed most of my life to service, but there are other things that Winnie and I want to do.
Where does the GOP go to find a candidate? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender, editor at thestatehousefile.com, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, would Democrats like to run against Ballard or someone else?
Oh, I think you always want to run with an open seat. There's no question about that. And you know, we don't know who the Republicans are going to put forward. They have a really deep legislative bench from Marion County. You know, you've got Mike Speedy and Mike Young and Pat Miller. And
there are some formidable names being mentioned. Jim Merritt.
That's
Murray
right.
Murray Clark.
There are a number. So who knows? They may even have a primary contest for the nomination. Who knows?
How will Republicans sort this out?
Well, first of all, it's a major loss having a mayor of this quality, a guy that's been very popular in the city, to announce that he's not seeking a third term. That's clearly a loss. But you're right. We have a group of people whose names have been mentioned, including Murray Clark, State Senator Jim Merritt, Deborah Daniels, Jeff Cardwell as another name. All of those four that I've heard would have the ability to raise a lot of money, would be competitive, would put forth a good vision for the city. And that's the key here, because if the Republicans do have a candidate that can put a vision ahead of the people for where we're going for this city, they can still win this thing. And that's key going forward.
Well, the Democrats had a big day in Marion County on Tuesday when Republicans had a big day everywhere else. Does that tell you anything about what things will be like next year?
Sure, because next year I think you probably will see an even bigger turnout among Democrats. And so I think absolutely. I mean, the fact that Marion County is, despite Mayor Ballard's win two elections, I think that it's the Republicans are going to face an uphill battle trying to keep that mayoral seat.
Yet Ballard said he thought that if he ran, he could win.
Well, you know, he's already won two, and you don't put it past him to win a third. But I also wonder why any mayor thinks about running for a third term. I mean, it's an all-consuming job. It's a very difficult thing to do, and it's very difficult to win a third term. So I'm not surprised that he made this decision. But to your question, Jim, yeah, I think he would have stood a good chance for re-election. And it would have been a very spirited debate. The one thing that the Democrats lose in this is that they don't have his record to run and tie directly to him. Now, they can tie it to Republicans, et cetera, that kind of thing. But they can't attempt to use Mayor Ballard's record against him, as I'm sure they were planning to until he decided to pull out.
And I think that's particularly important when it comes to talking about crime. That would have been the easiest thing to tie directly to the mayor, and you do lose that argument.
Well, I don't think you lose it. I think it makes it a little bit more tenuous, but, you know, 8 years of Republican rule and the crime statistics are there, and they're there for the campaign. I think he's wise to do it, too, because it's very difficult to get a third term. Obviously, this city is trending Democratic, and it's good for him that he can go out on his own terms rather than going out as a loser, so it's a good thing.
And the Democrats are going to have a primary. You know,
potentially.
Not potentially. Right now, you've got one candidate for sure, and Ed Delaney.
That's all you have.
Right, one candidate for sure. Oh, you're telling me that Hogsett may not get in this thing?
I can say he's changed his mind.
You're correct about that. He's changed his mind at least six times.
He was the first guy to send out a statement regarding Ballard's announcement.
So there could be a very tough primary there. And as I said before, if the Republican candidates put out a vision and are well-funded, they can win this thing. And I think they've got at least four people that I know of that are being mentioned for this that could do just that.
A lot of people.
Well, I mentioned a few others, too.
There are people already speculating that if Republicans don't win the mayor's race in 2015, that this could be an all-Democrat county for a long time.
Amen, hallelujah.
Let me add to that. I saw Frank Short last night at the state chamber dinner, and he's reconsidering getting back in this thing.
All right, moving on. Republican Connie Lawson defeated Democrat Beth White this week to win the race for Secretary of State and lead a Republican sweep of statewide offices.
And I will work tirelessly to protect Hoosiers from identity theft and financial fraud and scams. And I am committed to encouraging voter participation and protecting our democracy while also ensuring the integrity of our election process. And words cannot express how truly grateful I am for the help and the support from so many people along the way.
Mike McDaniel, will the three Republicans, Lawson, Suzanne Crouch, and Kelly Mitchell, serve out their terms?
Absolutely. And this was a great night for Republicans across the board, but this was one of the best statewide tickets I think I can remember us ever having. These three people are highly capable people. They raised money. They worked hard as candidates. Their integrity is above reproach. I think they're going to be great office holders, and this was a very powerful victory for these three people. And the margins were bigger than I think anybody thought they would be.
They won by wide margins. All three candidates are women. The Democrats have talked a lot in Indiana and outside Indiana about the Republican war on women.
Yeah, which is real.
Yeah,
but
which is real.
The message didn't get through.
No, I think what happened here is the national tide. Beth White and Mike Clater and Mr. Boland ran strong campaigns. They were focused on the issues, and they were caught up in a national tide, much like we saw in 94. Of course, we had 96 after that, too, and we'll have 2016, and we'll see what happens.
I think Beth White had the best campaign commercial of the year. It got noticed.
I'd say she came up short.
Well, I think she earned that. She ran 2 points ahead of the rest of the ticket.
It was a national wave.
She raised a lot of money.
John, what's that tell you?
Well, it was a wave, whether it was national or state. And I guess, Ann, I would disagree that it is as much a state wave as it is a national wave, because in Indiana, the turnout broke about what we thought it would on a statewide basis. And so I think that that's what happened. You know, she spent the money. She made the effort. She had a good campaign. And it got her 2 points more than the other people who, didn't have nearly the presence or the experience that she had in Indiana. So I think that's what it, you know, she was swimming up tide.
There's one story in these three that I think is particularly important. I think Kelly Mitchell's story is impressive, considering how she won the state convention.
What a three-way race. The fact that
the person that she was working for and the state treasurer resigned.
Richard Murdoch, yes.
And she could have asked to be appointed to that spot, but said, no, I don't want to do that, which I think was a smart thing, because I think that could have been a problem for the campaign itself. So right. I think she did a great job, came from nowhere at the start of this year to end up being the state treasurer of the state of Indiana and a high-quality person.
Well, I think that's true, and I'm surprised that the Democrats didn't try to tie her to Murdoch.
I was surprised by that, too. I mean, the Democrats running for state office, the treasurer's race was the weakest. They did the least amount of work there. There was, I don't think he ever went up on TV. But you're right, they had lots of opportunities. But I want to go back to what you said at the very beginning about, sort of facetiously, about are they going to serve out their terms. But you know, this is important. If all three of these people were replacing or replaced folks who either resigned, had to resign, I guess they all resigned, for various reasons.
There were three people in the auditor's office during the last 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important for Republicans to show they can provide some stability in these offices. These are not high-profile places, but if you have any more of these kinds of resignations, that is not going to look good the next time around.
Marion County Sheriff John Layton won a second term in office this week and led a Democratic sweep of countywide offices in Marion County. He survived the charge that he was responsible for 23 mistaken releases from the jail.
Well, it was a little contentious at times. I understand that, but that's what campaigns are. And, you know, wherever it might have gone, I think we used the best judgment in the way we dealt with the things that were coming at us, and we told the truth. And when you tell the truth, you know, usually things come out okay for you.
John Ketzenberger, what was the key factor there, truth or money?
Oh, there's, you know, tell the truth, but if you got a lot of money to tell the truth with, then you're gonna do much better. I think the Republican Emmett Carney, he did have good credentials. He was attacked for the fact that he hadn't been the leader of a sheriff's department, but he had very good crime-fighting credentials.
Retired ATF agent.
Right, and he just was never able to make that case either through the electronic media or just through earned media and appearances. He just couldn't overcome the amount of money, the experience, and the organization that Sheriff Layton had.
One of the things that struck me about Marion County this year is that the clerk's race got no attention at all. We've seen in the battles over voting and how and when people vote, clerk's races have been very high profile in recent elections.
Yeah, they really have, and you're right about talking about elections. And when you think about all the things that the clerk's office controls now related to elections, I mean, they're involved in where the polls are going to be, and whether you're going to use vote centers. There are so many things they're involved with. That it is a big surprise that wasn't a higher profile race. I mean, you could not even know that was going to be on the ballot before you went in to vote, with as little as anyone was talking about it.
And the other thing that struck me is that the margins in favor of Democrats in Marion County were similar to the statewide margins for Republicans. I mean, that's not a good sign for the Republicans.
Well, clearly the county's been trending Democrat for a long time demographically, and I think John Layton is very popular as sheriff. I think Curry is popular as prosecutor. And both of them were the best funded of all of the candidates running and were really the only ones that were on TV most of the time. And so I don't think there's any surprise there that they would have the kind of margins that they had.
How can Democrats build on this?
Oh, I think they'll build on it and will recruit the next generation of candidates for it. And the thing that struck me about this whole thing with the accusations that the mayor levied the day before the election in endorsing Emmett Carney is he either knew that charge was wrong or he should have known it was wrong, since the person signing the order was the judge and not the sheriff. And yet he went ahead. I think that was a pretty good indicator he wasn't going to run again, because he not only endorsed the Republican, which you'd expect him to do as a Republican
mayor.
Well,
and he'd given him $5,000 earlier.
And that's fine. You expect that for him to do that. You don't expect him to stick his finger in a very popular sheriff's eye when he knows that the charges he's making, or should know that the charges he's making, are not accurate.
Well, but even from Layton's point of view, he admits to 6 mistaken releases that were the sheriff's
right,
department
fault.
Right,
but the ones the mayor was accusing the sheriff of were not John Layton's fault.
The most recent one,
right,
apparently was the
if
fault
if you don't
of
have the money
employee.
To tell the story doesn't get told. I mean, that's pretty simple.
Well, that's true for the statewide candidates as well, Michael.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
didn't
the
get
fact
told.
The fact that Beth White and
that?
Mike Clater
Why
are the,
they
most,
can't raise money?
The best qualified, because this is still a Republican state.
Okay.
And nobody
right.
fundamentally
okay.
cares. Nobody fundamentally cares about those offices.
Well, wait a minute.
Tim
I said
Jeffers
that.
Was correct
I said
about
that before
they
the
ought
campaign,
be
during the campaign, that
they
Democrats
ought to be
don't
appointed.
Pay attention to it, and you said that wasn't true.
I did not.
You did, too. You said right there and said it.
All right.
No.
Moving on. The supermajorities in the Indiana General Assembly grew this week. The GOP now holds 71 seats in the House, where it was 69, and 40 seats in the Senate, where it was 37. Here's Speaker Brian Bosman.
This next session of the General Assembly, with strong majorities in the House and Senate, will be a successful one.
We've gotten an awful lot done the last 10 years, and a lot more to go.
and that Senate President Pro Tem David Long, Leslie Weidenbender, should we expect a more conservative agenda going forward?
I'm not sure about that. I really do think that Brian Bosma and David Long both will continue to seek to moderate a lot of those kinds of things. I don't think they think it's a good idea to push a big social agenda, a conservative social agenda, at a time when they have such big margins. I actually think that would play badly across the state.
A couple of races we've talked about a lot. Start with the Mike Delf race. Republican senator from Carmel ran against J.D. Ford, and he trailed late into the evening, in large part because of vote counting problems in Hamilton County. He ended up winning 54-46. What do you think of that margin?
Well, I think, considering that I felt he had a real chance to be defeated, I think that's a pretty healthy margin of victory for Mike Delf. I think he can take some pride in that if that's what he wants to do. He clearly was able to turn out voters in the areas where he was the strongest, despite the fact that he called all of those evangelical churches out during the spring when he was upset with everybody.
He performed very well in Carmel, where he won, I believe, 65-35, but he lost in Marion County.
Right. And there were some pretty hard endorsements against him in some of the media in town, and he won despite all of that.
Well, that's what gerrymandered districts are for. I mean, when you look at the totals on this, you've got Democrats with 20% of the vote.
But that's a district that went for Joe Donnelly 2 years ago.
I know,
Barack
but
Obama
look
in
at that district. Yeah. You could not give a description of that district. When you get, as you did, better than 40% of the votes cast for the legislature for Democrats, and you have 20% in the Senate, and you have 30%, a little less than 30% in the House, you have gerrymandering. And you couple that with the attempt to suppress the vote that Republicans have successfully enacted over the years, and you get what you get. You get a Mike Delf reelected, and you get Eric Turner reelected in that district.
Well, let's talk about Eric Turner. He has announced that he would resign, win or lose. He ran against Democrat Bob Ashley in a district that's in Tipton, Hamilton, and Madison counties, and he won 63-37. What's that tell you?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, but one, it's a Republican district, clearly, and two, I think those people that were upset with Eric, who are still Republicans, who thought, well, he's going to be gone anyway, I'm going to get a Republican, so they still vote a Republican in that district. And so I think that had something to do with also. But on the Delf win, I think that was a good win for Mike Delf, and from the standpoint of what he was going through during the campaign before and during the campaign. And then he also had Donnelly and John Gregg come out and campaigned against him during this thing. And they were all pointing to the fact that Donnelly won this district before, so it's an impressive victory. But we now have more Republicans in the Indiana Senate than there are Democrats in the entire legislature. So it was a great day for Republicans in the legislative process.
These are not high water marks for supermajorities. It's 91 in the House, 43 in the Senate, but they're close.
Close.
I think one of the other races worth noting is the one in southern Indiana where Richard Young lost, and David Long made the point on election night. That's a district that was represented by Richard Young and Frank O'Bannon for 60 years.
You know, those districts along the Ohio River there have really been trending Republican. I think it's a combination of things. You know, you've got some suburban area, you know, that from Louisville that's coming over. Not so much in this district we're talking about, but there is some of that. But also, I think that there are a lot of southern Indiana people who are traditionally Democrats who voted Republican in presidential races, but are now starting to identify more as Republicans than Democrats. And you've seen a big change in who's representing those districts across southern Indiana.
The Republicans are going to be in control for a long time.
Well, southern Indiana is a real story here because, one, now you only have one Democrat seat south of 40 in the state Senate. But also, all of those mayors along the river are now Republican. So it's not just in the legislative year. I mean, they voted for mayoral elections all across
the river
last time. So it's changed. It's changed dramatically. The two that were important to me in this particular one were the two Democrat seats that were lost in Lake County.
Yeah,
Mara Candelaria was a pretty good legislator who represented her district.
One of two Latino legislators who were defeated this year. There are none now.
Right. So she lost that one. Well, that one's probably the biggest surprise to me in the whole thing because she was a hard-working person.
She and Shelley Vandenberg
worked hard on it. That's right. But It was a national trend. I don't think it's statewide. I think it's national, and I think it'll swing back.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question: how long will Republican supermajorities stay in place? Your choices are A, 2 years, B, 4 to 8 years, or C, 10 years or more. Last week's question: how would you react to federal support for a humor class at Butler University? 28% said it makes me smile. 54% said it makes me frown. 18% said I'll remain stoic. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. The GOP won control of the U.S. Senate this week, and that will cost Indiana Democrat Joe Donnelly a subcommittee chairmanship. Republican Dan Coats, on the other hand, is about to gain some serious clout.
I think I'm in line for a chairman of the Joint Economic Committee. There will be some key subcommittees that I will have the opportunity on appropriations to be chairman of.
And he may get a seat on the powerful Finance Committee.
You will be heard in Washington.
It's because of results that, among other things, return Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell to the Senate, where he will become majority leader. Donnelly is one Democrat who is downplaying the switch.
Issues I've been focused on, middle-class jobs, those are the kind of issues that no matter who controls the Senate, we'll be focused on.
And Congressman Luke Messer, part of what will be a historic majority in the House, warns that Republicans must deliver.
What's clear from this election is people are disappointed in the president's leadership, but they're disappointed in Washington more broadly. They want to see work done for the American people. I know in my district, people see an economy that is lagging, and they feel like sometimes their leaders are disconnected from that.
But Dan Coats, whose term ends in 2016, now has a reason to run for re-election.
Right now, last night was a positive factor, but it's one of many, as I said. Check with me next year.
And Delaney, more clout for Dan Coats, is that good for Indiana?
Well, I think any time you have a senator from a state that has clout and can help that state, and particularly if it's in the economic area, I think that sure would be great for Indiana. And I don't think it hurts Joe Donnelly because he's shown an amazing ability to work across the aisle on non-controversial matters that get bipartisan support. So I think it's good for the state.
Plus he's in his first term. And
Coats has a lot more experience and seniority.
You think Coach will run in 2016 now?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think this was probably a deciding factor for him. That's my personal opinion. He hadn't told me that, but he will be the chairman of the Joint Economic Committee. He moved up to number two on the Intelligence Committee.
I'm told there's a chance he could become chairman of the Intelligence Committee.
And that could happen. We don't know until they get back. So that's powerful. And I think on the other side, for Donnelly, you know, he watched as all of his buddies that voted for all the Obama stuff go down like flies all night, and that's got to give him some pause because he voted for Obamacare and a lot of the programs the president wants, so that's got to be something that's on his mind, too.
You still keep beating that same. It's unpopular.
You just said it's a national election. What this was about.
It was unpopular. There's no question that the president was unpopular. Yeah. There's no question about that. But Obamacare is a different story.
All of the things that he voted
you look
for
at the,
with
you
Obama.
Look at the Kentucky, for example, with 300,000 people more covered.
Let's go to the round table, winners and losers. Who is the big winner in Tuesday's election, Ann Delaney?
Oh, I think you have to give it to Joel Miller. I mean, a sweep like that for the county is
Marion County Democratic Chairman. All right, Mike McDaniel.
I think the two legislative leaders, Speaker Bosma, President Pro Tem, the Senate, David Long, and they were the biggest winners. This makes it almost impossible for the Democrats to get back in power in either house before the next decade's over.
Well, in the
so
House,
you can redistrict and gerrymander again.
In the House, they could lose 20 seats next time and still have a majority. Big winner, Leslie.
I'm going with Jed McMillan, who moved into leadership post in the House, which I thought was a little bit of a surprise. Yeah. So that's my pick.
All right, this is off the board, but it's somebody who's taken a lot of abuse on this show, and so I feel like, you know, Greg Zeller ought to get some props because he won the right-to-work case in the Supreme Court this week. However, Judge Rucker said under a different set of circumstances it might still be challengeable. So You know, Greg Zeller won this time, but we'll see if the opposition comes back.
So does that make him a half-big winner?
We got to go big loser, big loser.
Clearly, Scott Piloff, because of the two seats they lost in Lake County.
I'll give it to Walker, the Republican county chairman. They didn't even have poll
Kyle
workers.
Kyle Walker in Marion County.
Didn't even have poll workers at the polls.
Hang on to Marion County, Ann.
I am.
That's all you got. That's all you got.
I think the one county executive vote in Allen County was trounced in Allen County, and I think that concept is done for a while.
I'm going to say Senator Lannon. I mean, when you have 10, you have 10 people and 4 in leadership, I mean, that's tough to deal with.
I'll go with that. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican, that Ann Delaney's over here, there, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.